When you feel like your life is crumbling around you, you could actually be on the verge of your next big thing. If you'd rather get into a car accident than go to work because you hate your job, you actually could be on the verge of finding your dream career. If you've had it with picking up the tab for your yet again unemployed boyfriend, you're actually on the verge of finding a fantastic relationship. Certified hypnotherapist and master life coach, Laura Richer, wants to show you how to use your breakdown for a breakthrough in creating a life you love. You're listening to Laura's hit new show, On the Verge Radio.
And welcome to On the Verge Radio, broadcasting here on Transformation Talk Radio. I am always thrilled to introduce your host, Laura Richer. Hello, Laura.
Good morning, Andy.
And I am your co-host, Andy Lucas. So Maya Angelou said, if you don't like something, change it. And if you can't change it, change your attitude.
That is so true. And today we're going to continue our series about having a healthy self-esteem and building a seven-figure self-worth.
Yes.
So self-esteem and confidence impact every part of our lives. And the old cliche is true. You can't truly love another unless you love yourself. And that even applies to your job.
Yes.
Or your business. So whether you own your own business or you're on the verge of turning your passion project into a career, we have an awesome show for you today.
Yes. And we are super excited to have special guest Jessica Riverson with us here today. Jessica is a certified money breakthrough coach, a business coach, and she's also the creator of two really exciting programs. One is the Permission to Charge Academy, and the other is the Feminine CEO Program. Jessica, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And Jessica is also my business coach and mentor, so we're very excited to have you on the show today.
Yeah. And so what we're talking about today is loving it or leaving it. And it's the three steps to checking out or clocking out permanently from a dead-end job. And the first step is pretty much what you help people with, Jessica. It is, the first step is loving yourself and knowing your self-worth.
Yes.
And so that is Jessica's specialty. Her Permission to Charge program really helps businesses know what they're worth and to offer their services at a price that values who they are and what they have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
So since that is your specialty, especially working with coaches, tell us a little bit more about that. I mean, I know it sounds silly, but why is it so important to charge what you're worth?
That is a good That is a good question. Gosh. Okay. So why is it important to charge your worth? First of all, if you are going to leave your corporate job mm-hmm. to start a business, and most people want to replace their income, right? Like you're not yes. starting a business so that you can then be broke or, you know,
right.
not be able to maintain your lifestyle and hopefully grow your lifestyle. So for that reason, you need to be thinking about how you're going to set up your business, how you're going to set up your business model, how you're going to set up your pricing mm-hmm. so that your business is profitable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just kind of like business 101. There's a lot of layers to this. So, you know, I'll go as far as you want, but there's a lot of layers to this. The other reason is if you price too low, people won't take you seriously.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, you really want to position yourself as the expert and charge as the expert charge on the value of what it is that you offer. Because if you're charging like by the hour or how long it takes you or you guys are talking about self-worth, if you don't really feel that you're worth it or things from see, when you start a business, all your stuff from childhood will come up because
mm-hmm. yeah,
now, yes, it does.
All your insecurities,
all your stuff just comes up to the surface. And so what'll happen is you'll start to doubt yourself or, oh, you know, this is easy for me, so I won't charge people very much.
That's a big one.
Right.
Oh, yes.
And so what'll happen is you're just way undercharging and you start having to work, you know, 90 hours a week to make, you know, to make your income that you're used to mm-hmm. when really you could probably, you know, you start a business to leverage your skills and talents, not to, you don't want to just create another job for yourself. And that's
yes.
what most people end up doing accidentally.
Yes. So you touched on something already that I think is really important. And I know that you work with all the time is why is it so hard for people to charge what they're worth?
Again, a big question. So we're just going to break it down. Some of the reasons have to do with programs that we received as children. So there's a few that just come to mind. One is like, don't get too big for your britches. Like, who do you think you are? And so it's like being humble, not saying that you're really good at something, just kind of like being very humble and helping others. Like all the like really good values, or we think they're like really good values that we were taught. Sometimes it can end up, it's like a double-edged sword where it prevents us from really going, I am freaking, can I say, badass at this.
Yes, you can.
I am freaking badass at this. This is my specialty. I'm really, really good at this. Yeah. I can help you solve your problem. So that's not something where, especially I'm going to talk about women, especially we're not necessarily trained to value ourselves in that way. It's like children should be seen and not heard. And I mean, you just think about all the different things that you heard growing up. And
you
so
be a nice, humble,
be nice, help, be helpful. Yes. And so I think when you're in a job, it's like you're getting paid to do a certain thing. And it's like you're told to do X, Y, Z. When you start a business, it's a lot of times it's service business. I know some people create different types of businesses, but a lot of times service business is like the easiest, most natural way to go. And so you're like trying to be of service to people. So you start helping people and you do it for free. And you go, wait a minute, I just gave away all my services for free. And there's a lot of money programming that comes up where I shouldn't charge people if I'm helping them. I work with a lot of like spiritually minded entrepreneurs, socially conscious entrepreneurs. So again, they're feeling like, oh, if I'm helping people, I really shouldn't be charging a lot of money for this. And these people need my help. And so it's just like this, all of that stuff comes up.
So when can I book a session? Because, oh, my gosh. Were you there this
right
weekend?
Right now.
Okay, got it.
Well, and even Andy, when you were getting started in your business, she said something that I kind of remember a conversation you having where you're like, well, it's not that hard for me to do that. I just can go into WordPress and figure it out or whatever it was that you
I'll
were doing.
I'll just do it for free.
Yeah, and I was like, but you're the one who knows how to do that. But it's easy for us to undervalue ourselves when it comes really naturally and easy to us. So that's a really good point.
And I didn't know my worth.
Yeah.
There's a really good story. There's a meme going around on Facebook, but it's a story I've been telling for a long time. And then I saw the meme a couple days ago. I was like, oh, my God. So I didn't come up with the story. But there's this huge ocean liner, and there's a problem with it. And so the captain is like, okay, let's hire someone to come. And so this guy comes. He goes under the ship and opens a little door and he turns a knob and he's like, okay, there you go. It'll be, you know, $25,000. And the captain's like, oh my God, $25,000. All you did was just turn that little knob. And he's, and the technician was like, well, I can turn it back.
Yeah.
Right. So
I'm the one who knew how to turn it. Yeah, yes.
Exactly. So, you know, it's not about just charging by the hour and all this kind of stuff. It's understanding the value. And so to answer your original question, it's like, we have a lot of bad programming around value in general, self-worth, self-value, value of money, just value in general.
Okay.
How do you help someone see their value? Like, how do you get to the, I mean, you're obviously not going to give us all of your secrets and we can't, it's a difficult question to answer, but what's your process?
Well, yeah, and if it was that simple, you know, it would be a lot faster. So it is definitely, it is a, you use the right word, it's a process. Yeah. So, and everyone wants me to give like a formula, and and there is a formula, but it's not so cut and dry. So how to have someone see their value? There's a couple steps. If you're a new entrepreneur, what I find, and I think you guys totally get this, is you have to deal with a lot of your personal stuff.
Yes.
So so I work with very seasoned entrepreneurs who are, you know, already very successful, and they have this same problem, but it's at a different level. And then I have newer entrepreneurs who have this problem, but the difference is they have not sometimes done all the personal development work. So there's kind of like these two pieces. There's the personal development work, the self-worth work that has to be done.
Yep.
And all the limiting beliefs, all the fears that come up. So if you want to really attack your self-worth and increase it, like start a business.
Yes.
And all your stuff will come up. Make sure you hire Laura and you're like working through it and you're getting help. So that's like a huge piece of it. And I do a lot of that work as well with money mindset and the healing work. But then on the other side, it's understanding your value in the marketplace. So that I'll explain because it's a little easier to explain. is I help people understand what the problem they solve is costing their ideal client. So I do have a formula for that that's a little bit more, you know, step by step.
Yeah.
Whereas the other side of the equation involves the coaching and the healing and the getting into the deep structure of their belief system and clearing things out.
Yeah.
But in the other side, and I'll just go through this. There's a process I take people through where you sit down and you start to look at how the problem, let's say you are solving, what's the problem that we're solving here?
Relationships. Yes. The Richer Love program.
Okay,
yes.
So you've been dating all the wrong men and, you know, your successful woman is like, oh my God, why am I just not finding the right guy? And so that becomes a very painful problem at a certain point in time. And you're willing to do anything to fix it, right? And so then it's sitting down and understanding, okay, how is this problem of you know, continuing to pick the wrong person, having all this pain and heartache, and then, you know, maybe being a certain age and feeling like you really want to, like, have partnership and family and all this stuff in your life. And so you feel like your clock is ticking. There comes a time where it becomes a very, very urgent problem.
Yes.
So you sit down, you start looking at every aspect of this person's life, their relationship with others, their career, their sense of self-worth, their physical health, their spiritual health. You look at every aspect of their life and you start to look at how does this problem affect every aspect of your life. And you write it all on a piece of paper, and your piece of paper should be full. And that's one aspect of my process, is looking at that and going, wow, this is affecting their whole life. And if I can help them solve this problem, how does every aspect of their life elevate?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And improve.
And improve.
Wow.
You know,
it's a really good formula. Yes.
It is very powerful. And one thing that Jessica really helped me with as we've been working together is earlier in my career, I would sell individual sessions thinking, you know, oh, maybe someone wants us to do one session. And through the work we did together, I realized I was not giving them what they needed, that I really, as the professional, knew what it was going to take to get them the result that they wanted. And I couldn't really leave that up to just a session here or there. And so for me, knowing that it was going to provide the benefit that I wanted to get for them, that made it easier to make that transition.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, to share the value of the result, because people are buying results. So when you start a business, you need to think about what's the problem I'm solving and what are the results that I'm selling. Mm-hmm. You're not selling hypnotherapy sessions.
Right.
You're not selling marketing.
Website.
Yeah, a website. You're selling the result of that.
Right.
What is it going to do for them?
Exactly.
And that's how you literally can charge whatever you want. Whatever you want.
I need to make this page up.
Yes.
I'll see you guys later. I've got work to do.
So, Jessica, the clients that you work with, that you see that they get really good results through working with you, are there any traits that they already have off the bat that...
Oh, yes.
Yes?
I was hoping you would ask me this. So I was thinking about this on the way here. I figured you would ask me something like that. So I was reflecting on, you know, who's my person? Because that's the other key to starting a business, is you need to know who your people are.
Yes.
Not everyone is supposed to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, a small fraction of the whole universe is supposed to work
yes.
with you.
Yeah.
Depending on what your mission and your goals are. Mm-hmm. I should rephrase that a little bit. But they are spiritual and ambitious.
Okay.
And I think the reason they come to me is because there becomes a conflict with that sometimes, where I really want to help people. I really want to do my soul's work. And I really want to make a lot of money and be a very successful business entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who I like to work with, because that's me.
Yeah.
And I like that combination. And for some people, they get really stuck because it's like, well, if I'm a healer, or I'm a hypnotherapist, or I'm doing this like amazing healing work, I can't really be rich.
Yeah.
Right. And you don't have to choose one or the other.
You can if you want, but I don't think you have to. Yeah.
So you mentioned right before we got started, you've been doing this. You've been coaching for 17 years.
Yes.
How did you develop these programs? So the Permission to Charge program and the Feminine CEO program. Tell us about that.
Okay. I've created many programs over the years. So those are my like current offerings. The Permission to Charge Academy was created out of the need. Let me go back. When I started my business, I had a major issue charging my worth. And so it was just killing my business. I was doing things for free. I was giving discounts. I was just like, stop. Yeah. Like, it was like, I would be like, I'll give you a discount. And I would like try to pull the words back in my mouth, like slow motion, like, no, why did you say it again? So, and I was a single mom, so I couldn't fail at my business. I couldn't fail at my business. I'm grateful for that, being like stuck between a rock and a hard place, because it made it so I was like, okay, I got to figure this out. Yeah. I cannot be having a broke business. This isn't going to work. So when I became a coach, because my first business was the tutoring franchise, when I became a coach, I decided to be a business coach, I realized I wasn't alone. Like, pretty much I would go to these networking events and I would talk about charging your worth, and everyone would be like, oh, you know, it's like everyone has that problem pretty much. And then I even, I remember early in my business, I had like $1 million business owner come into one of my group programs, and she still had that problem. So it's relative. It doesn't matter. It's not really about the numbers that you're charging. It's a gut check. You know if you feel resentful about the work that you're doing, or if you feel really empowered, like you're getting paid well and you're on fire and you're like, I feel great about this. I feel great about the compensation. So it's just a gut check, and you could be a multimillionaire and still be like, you know, I don't feel I'm receiving the value for what I'm putting out there. So that is where the permission to charge came from. The Feminine CEO program has come from building a multiple six-figure coaching practice and then getting really, really burnt out, because the way that I built it was by pushing and pushing and pushing in a very masculine way. And it worked to an extent until I got an autoimmune disease and got sick and realized that is not the way I want to build my business. Like, you can do whatever you want, right? You can push hard and be like, rah, 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 and go, go, go. Or you can decide that it gets to be different. And so that program is really geared towards the very successful woman who has gotten locked into this like masculine way of doing it. She's probably very intuitive and very spiritual. However, some of that has gone to the wayside, and she's just been like doing all these strategies and, you know, doing all the formulas and all of the stuff we're told to do to build a business. And she has become successful, but she's lost a part of herself and her joy around it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so it's for another version of me.
Yes.
As I keep growing and seeing what the needs are in the marketplace.
Wow, that's really interesting.
And that is such a good point. When you're feeling depleted or overwhelmed or resentful of the work that you previously loved, obviously something is a little bit off.
Yeah. And it makes you feel bad.
It does.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be the person that's resenting her work or her client.
Right.
No. Yeah.
It's kind of embarrassing. Yeah. and it's just really, it's not that you don't like your clients or something like that. It's just you realize, wow, I've got to do this in a different way.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I'm sure that we have a lot of listeners who are thinking about leaving their corporate jobs. They're on the verge, so to speak, of leaving their corporate job, and they want to start their own business. So who makes a good solo entrepreneur? Who is good at this?
That is such a good question, because I just had a call the other day with someone who was thinking about doing the same thing and ended up saying, oh, now's not the right time. And I was thinking, lovely person, and I was just thinking, you know, you really have to have this certain recipe within you, or you need to like create it, decide that you're going to create it to be successful. So number one, I do think you have to be, I use this phrase a lot, like a dog on a bone. You have to just be totally committed.
Yes.
There can't be another option. You can't think maybe I'll try this. You're not trying it. Oh, I'll try it for a year, and if it doesn't work, I'll go back to my job. That is the worst possible mentality. It's just not going to work. I mean, I think anyone that has that idea in their mind probably isn't going to be very successful.
Well, they're already planning to go back.
Yeah. No, but I think a lot of people do that.
Yes. Yeah.
So you have to have, it has to be your ultimate dream to be the creator of your destiny. Everyone's a creator of their destiny. But what I mean is, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, and I've been one for, I guess, 19 years. We were talking about this earlier. Every morning for the past 19 years, I decide how much money I'm going to make and where it's going to come from and how I'm going to make it. I've developed a skill around that. I don't lose sleep over it either.
Right.
You know, because I just know that that's what I'm going to do. That's very different than having a job. It's just different. And that's fine.
Because you wake up and go to work and know where your paycheck is coming
from. Yeah, you have Not that that's so secure either. I prefer to, I feel more secure being in control.
I do now. Not in the beginning, I didn't feel that way.
It doesn't
but now
feel,
I do feel
secure in the beginning because you don't know how.
Yeah.
You don't have the skills. So, yeah, the traits are super committed. It has to be your dream. You have to just make an ultimate defining decision in your life that that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
And I think if you do that, you'll be good. And you also need to have support of, that's not really a trait, but that's another
support of people around you.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say people around you are mentorship. Sometimes the people around you, your spouse, is not supportive and your family thinks you're crazy. So you may not get that. You can't get it just because you want it.
Right.
It's not going to happen. Some people have supportive families. Some people don't.
So what do you do in that case?
Well, we were saying before, you do need to have a mentor. And I'm not, I was going to say, I'm not saying that just because I'm a mentor, but I probably am saying that just because I'm a mentor. If you're a mentor and you're not saying that, that would be kind of ridiculous. So obviously I believe highly in mentorship, because if you're trying to do something you've never done before, you need someone who's already done it.
Yes.
That's just smart. And a lot of times, here's another mindset for being an entrepreneur, is a lot of people say it takes money to make money. Yes and no. I think that's true a lot of the time, but to make it an absolute belief is kind of silly, because you could start a service. I could start a cleaning company today and have a client tomorrow.
Right.
So I might need to buy a broom or something. I don't know. But I wouldn't really need a lot of money for that.
Right.
But you do need to have a mentor that can show you the ropes, and you need to also be prepared to spend time, money, and energy
on that.
On that and on the business.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you're not willing, you need to be willing to invest. That's the mindset piece. You need to be willing to invest heavily, and then you also need to invest in a mentor to help you.
Yeah. Laura was kind of my mentor when I was getting started with my business.
Yes. And, you know, I was lucky that I had parents who were entrepreneurs and kind of said to me, you know, don't listen to what other people have to say, and don't necessarily tell people who don't need to know what you're doing, because you're always going to hear the story of like, oh, well, my aunt was a coach and she went bankrupt. And, you know, so you don't need to take in that negativity. And you come from a family that was not entrepreneurs.
Nobody.
So all of their fear was coming up. And a lot of conversations we had, Andy be like, what about my tax? I'm like, I don't know. You'll just figure it out. I mean, so we were able to support each other. But, you know, it does. It gets very overwhelming. So if you don't at least have a friend who is also running a business, who could say like, hey, it's going to come together. You can do this.
And you did tell me at the very beginning, you're probably going to cry every day.
Yeah.
Multiple times a day. And you were right.
Yeah.
I did.
I said you'll have a breakdown at least once a week.
Yes.
That's what happened to me too. How am I going to pay my bills? Who am I to do this? What am I even doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
It's unknown.
Yes.
Totally unknown.
And it's so foreign from going to work every day and knowing you're going to show up and you're going to work and you're going to collect a paycheck at the end of the week. And frankly, you could show up and, you know, play solitaire on your computer all day and you're still probably going to get a paycheck for at least
until they find out that's what you're doing.
And then they go through all the
bureaucracy. If you do that in your business, you are broke.
Yeah.
And if you mess around and play solitaire for 2 weeks.
Yeah. If you're taking music quizzes on Sporkle, you've got problems.
Right. But, you know, Jessica, what you said, that like a dog on a bone, just you have to be fully committed. I think for both me and Andy, this was true, is that we were so unhappy with the corporate life that going back was not an option. So the backup plan of going backwards just wasn't an option.
I can't.
I think being in extreme discomfort sometimes is a good time to start a business.
Yeah, it might be
honestly,
your rock bottom.
Yes.
You never know. So the other question I wanted to ask is your self-worth, is it growing and changing over time, or is it, I understand my self-worth and I got it, I'm done. I never have to think about it again.
Ooh. I would like to say that you got it and you never have to think about it again. I think it grows. I think you can quickly get to a place where you understand your value and feel like you've got it a lot. But I think we never stop growing. It's not like you just arrive and then there's never any like new insights or growth or I've never seen that. Unless you're like a self-realized yogi who's like already, I don't know, an ascended master or something. Us regular people, that's not really how we operate. So yeah, I have people that are new entrepreneurs that are literally just started their business, having their first like $3,000 client, first $2,500 client, and they've never done that before, and they were scared out of their mind, and I got them to a point in a very short period of time to understand the value they had in the marketplace. They still have stuff they're working on, but it took them 3 months, whereas it took me 3 years to even have the confidence to get the first client. It right. was like, probably I charge barely nothing, barely sure. anything. So, yeah, it can happen quickly, and okay. then you continue to grow. That's okay. my opinion.
And you can also have, like, some fears come up and slip backwards a little, too. So I definitely think that, which I know that from my experience. So I definitely think that that's an ongoing process. It's like yeah. sometimes you can really have it, and then maybe you get negative feedback or something comes up, and you'll go backwards a little bit. So I think
yeah,
we're
you're
always
like,
working
oh, I thought
on
I
it.
Worked on that. And you're like, oh, there's another little
there
piece
it is
of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah.
So,
yeah. yes. So we are going to take a break. But Jessica, I cannot thank you enough for being here. I mean, this is such fantastic information. I love what you do. So how can our listeners get in touch with you? And you're obviously taking new clients, and how can they find
sure.
you if they want to learn more
yeah.
about your programs?
A couple of resources. One, if for new entrepreneurs that are already mm-hmm. starting to put together their prices and their service offerings, raiseyourrateschallenge.com would Ooh. Be a great free resource to help you understand value-based pricing, understand your value in the marketplace.
Okay.
And just to reach out to me directly, support@jessicariverson.com.
Okay.
For someone that's super serious and needs mentorship and wants to explore that. But for everyone else, just like a good starting point would be the raiseyourrateschallenge.com.
I love that. I'll be taking that on the break. Well, Jessica, thank you so much for being here. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be tackling the other two steps for loving your work. So stay tuned for more On the Verge Radio here on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of us. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life? Yes! Check us out at drpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm. Oh my goodness.
Hi, this is Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio. Sometimes you hear encouraging messages like transform your life now, become empowered, create the life you crave, and it all seems overwhelming and you're not sure where to start. I'm here to tell you that self-improvement is not always fun and easy, but it is always worth it. The path to creating positive changes begins with releasing the things that have been holding you back. Then you can create a life that inspires you. I know this because I've done it. You can find out more about what I do by visiting my website, seattlehealinghypnosis.com. I look forward to supporting you on your journey.
Tune in to E3 Influence Radio. Own your impact. Master your world. In this new hit show, Sarah Luce, empowerment coach and spiritual mentor, teaches us how to achieve our greatest potential to positively affect everything and everyone. The time is now to enlighten our minds, empower our hearts, and take energized action to raise the consciousness of our planet. Sarah shows us how with simple, easy-to-implement steps. To find out more about Sarah Luce and her E3 Influence program, visit sarahluce.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Raging Skillet Radio, Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind. Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age, and it provided the truth and the answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Welcome back. If you are just tuning in, you're listening to On the Verge Radio. I am your co-host, Andy Lucas. I'm sitting here with Laura Richer, who is the owner of Seattle Healing Hypnotherapy, Reiki, and Life Coaching, and the founder of the Richer Love Program.
Yes. Hey, Andy.
And I am the owner of Hummingbird Marketing Services. And you know what? We had such a great conversation with Jessica Riverson. We begged her to stay, and she's cleared her schedule and is staying for the next half hour. Yay! So Jessica is still with us, and Jessica is a certified money breakthrough coach, the creator of the Permission to Charge program, the creator of the Feminine CEO program. So we are super excited to have you stay here and continue talking with us about loving it or leaving it, the three steps to permanently clocking out of your dead-end job. Laura, did you ever feel like you had to clock out?
Andy, I absolutely had to clock out. So I was in a job where I used to fantasize about getting in I worked in disability claims. So I'd think about what disability I could have that would prevent me from going to work. So I think I got in a car accident. I just injured a shoulder or something. So that is a sign that you are in a dead-end job and it's time to clock out. And I definitely for a long time wanted to do something else, but just didn't know how I would be able to make that happen. Didn't have the confidence to think that I could get that I didn't have to get a paycheck from someone else, that I could make my own paycheck. So it was definitely a process of doing that. So in the meantime, since I was so bored at my job, I decided I was just going to at least find a hobby or something to do that brought me some sort of fulfillment in my life. So I started exploring things I was really passionate about in the healing arts, coaching, Reiki, all that kind of stuff, just for my personal interest, nothing beyond that. I had no ideas about starting a business or anything like that. But that is what started me on the path of creating a business that I love.
That's fantastic. And that is what we've decided is step two.
Yeah.
Is explore your passions. Mm-hmm. Find out what it is that you love to do. And then you can turn that into a business. You didn't even know you were going to.
No, I was doing my stuff for more just personal, like, exploration, you know, giving myself my own therapy through these classes, basically. But I realized that I loved it, and I loved working with other people. Just even when I was a student and we'd practice on each other, I really loved doing that work. So that led me down this path where I am now. And so it just came from looking for a hobby, basically.
Do you feel that you work with that? And I'm asking both of you this because you're both coaches in a different life coach, business coach, healing coach, all of it. Jessica and Laura, do you find that you help your clients do this, like figure out what their passions are? Is that more you, Laura, and then Jessica helps harness it?
That might, Jessica works with people who are a little more on the path of already having started their business or ready to make know what they want to do and make that leap. Mm-hmm. I work with people more who are in the state of wanting to get into a car accident on the way to work. And they're wanting to figure out, is there a different life than this bleak thing that I'm going through every day? So, yes, we work with different...
So glad you're handling that.
Yes. Jessica's like, thank God.
Send them over.
But I do work with a lot of clients who are in jobs, and this is kind of how I felt in my job, that it's like, it's a good job. It's got great benefits. It's a good salary. A lot of people would want to have this job.
Right.
Why am I so unhappy? And that's the clients that I meet, that they're, you know, they might be at a really great job, but it's not what they want to be doing.
It's they're not fulfilled by it.
Right. So it's not great for them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So I also wanted to talk about the idea of values, because that can kind of, do you feel like values, not just self-value, but the things that I value in my job, can that also tie into passions and be all part of what you're starting?
I think so. Jessica, how did you decide to become a coach?
Oh, goodness. Okay. I actually was coached. I had a coach when I was 19. And well, let me back up. I actually, before I dropped out of college, I was studying to be a psychologist. So I even knew when I was a teenager I wanted to be like a counselor or a therapist or something like that. But again, that even came from being in high school and I was asked to be a natural helper, which is like this program they had where you would help other people. And I had a lot of problems in high school. Like I was depressed. I was on antidepressants. I had a lot of challenges. So I think I was very introspective to figuring out myself. And then that made me interested in figuring out other people and what was going on for them. And then helping other people showed me that that was something really fun for me. And I enjoyed I enjoyed my own aha moments and having my own breakthroughs with my mindset and then helping others do the same thing. So I agree with what Laura is saying is like figuring out what you're passionate about and you do need to try different things. So that's actually really great advice is that you take classes, you know, go online and look to what is it Udemy? Udemy would be a great place to go and kind of what floats your boat, what excites you, what interests you. and just start taking different classes and learning different things. And what's really interesting is that we live in a day and age where you can create a business around anything you're passionate about. Mm-hmm. For example, there was a guy on Shark Tank that created this. He would create these weird cat drawings. You guys heard about this?
No, but
no.
I
it's called I Will Draw a Cat for You or something. .com. Go Google it. So he turned that into a $1.2 million business.
Wow.
And it's probably more than that now. And and I don't even know if it's still in business. This is just in the past few years. But
he definitely had a seven-figure self-worth today.
He did. Yeah,
that into $1.2 million
so
business.
You like send in $10 and someone will draw a picture of a cat and send it to you or send it to your loved one for their birthday. Cat
wow.
scribbles. I mean, that's what he built a business around. So
truly amazing, by the way. Yeah. I just checked it out.
Yeah,
it's, oh, it's truly amazing.
So he's into the multiple millions now then, okay? Because that was when he was first on Shark Tank. And once you go on there, then
so
everybody
cute.
Knows about you. So, yeah, it's this online internet business.
Benny.
And he has a team of people. He's not the only cat drawer now, right?
Oh,
he's got these other people. So the point is, you can do anything you want that you're passionate about. And I think that's pretty amazing.
Yes. It is. And what an awesome example, because I think a lot of times we think that we need to have some sort of certification or degree or experience. And this guy just made it happen with cats.
I love it.
We have a PR coach on my team and she always says, her name is Christy Dosh. I got to give her a shout out because I learned this from her. She always says, your expertise is your experience. I hope I'm not botching it. But basically, You're an expert because of your experience.
Right, right.
It's not necessarily about the degrees or certifications.
Yes. And some people even say that you get to a certain point in your career where going back and getting an MBA would almost be silly because you have 20 years of experience.
Well, that's what I realized. I was like, I could finish my degree, but why?
Right.
I that would just delay me.
Yes.
So.
How exciting, though, that you have always kind of known what you wanted to do. And I feel like I was kind of the same way. I always, by the age of 7, I was creating newspapers on the typewriter at home. And I knew I wanted to be a writer. I love it. Yeah. So I knew I wanted to be a writer. And then I went to journalism school. And everything I've done kind of stems back to language and communication and all of it. And so I feel very fortunate that I always knew that I didn't find myself in jobs that I hated. Mm-hmm. Well, not because I hated what I was doing. I just hated the job.
Other dynamics.
Or the manager.
Yeah.
Hate. It's fortunate if you know the things that you gravitate toward. I always gravitated towards writing as well. So obviously being a business coach, we know copy is everything. Messaging is everything. But some people don't know. Mm-hmm. They really don't know. They're like, I don't know.
I don't know
what I'm good at or what I am interested in.
Yeah. And that I think I knew what I was interested in. But after college, I thought, well, I had been hanging out in Europe for a couple of years. I'm like, I need to go home and make some money. What's going to pay me the most money? And that started me down a path that really led to being very unfulfilled because I was just chasing the job where I could make the most money without it being topics that I was interested in at all. And I think that happens to a lot of people, too.
Yeah. I have a good friend. She's also happens to be my sister, but she is a wonderful artist. She's a talented writer. She's a great photographer. And so she went to school for accounting because that's what makes sense. She wanted to go to film school at one point and then I think let fear and other people's their impact stop her from doing what she wanted to do. And I'm so glad that now, in her 40s, she's finally turned to that. She has this really successful blog. She goes all over the country, taking pictures of rock and roll stars musicians and interviewing them. And she's having a great time and really loving her life. I just wish she would have been able to do it sooner.
Well, and Jessica brought that up earlier, that we get this programming when we're younger that, you need to have a stable job. You need to have benefits. You need to have safety and security. And that doesn't actually ever or necessarily lead to security or safety in the long run anyway. But yeah. It's hard to overcome that sometimes.
I think I was fortunate in journalism school. My professor, Carl Shearhorn, said, don't ever expect to make any money in this field.
Oh.
And in the game of life, the journalist made $12,000 a year. The teacher made $10,000 a year. So we were not, the lawyer made $25,000.
Yeah.
Anyway, Milton Bradley really showed us the way. Really. So, so Laura, when we're talking about values, I know one of your biggest values was freedom.
Yes.
That helped you kind of get there.
Yes. So when I was in my corporate job in my cubicle, you know, checking in whenever time I was supposed to be there, I really had the sense of being so restricted. And whenever I would take a values test, my number one value was always freedom. So that was one thing when I started to think about what am I going to do next. Working for myself really seemed like the only realistic option because I don't like other people telling me what to do. So does that resonate with you?
Yeah. I'm raising my hand.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you have mentioned that you have been working from home and would you say for yourself since you were 19?
Yeah. Yeah. So my first job starting at 19, I was a medical transcriptionist, which most people don't know what that is. You listen to doctors speak about the appointment they just had,
yes,
and you transcribe everything they say. So wow. You need to be able to type fast and you need to know medical terminology. And I went to school for one year for that, vocational college. And so then I found myself at 19, you know, having the work at home job, and I was paid on production. So
Wow. Even
though I was a contractor and I worked for that company, I was able to make my own hours, and I was able, the more that I typed, because there was endless amount of work there,
sure,
right?
Yes.
The more that I did, the more I could make, and the faster and more accurate I typed, the more I could make. So that's kind of where I got the bug. I was like, ooh, you know, I mean, I had already been like, you know, I sold the most Girl Scout cookies and I had yeah, lemonade stands and all that stuff. So I had that in me. But then doing that job, I had a lot of control over my time.
Yes.
And my day and my income. And so that's kind of what made that was I felt like an entrepreneur in a mm-hmm, sense.
Yes.
From that.
Well, because you were able to set your own hours and you could. Yeah.
Yeah,
the freedom.
Well, the
of being
paid
at home.
On production is a shift.
Yes.
Shift.
Instead of just being paid by being there for 40 hours a mm-hmm, week.
Yep.
Wow. Well, that's awesome. So, okay. So the third step, let's get on. So our first
yes,
step was loving yourself and knowing your worth is the first thing to permanently clock out. The second one is to explore your passions and know what you feel excited about and what you want to do and kind of turn that into something. And then the third step is having faith and trusting yourself and not worrying about the how.
And so this was kind of a challenge for you to get started, right? Because you
yes,
already knew what you wanted to do.
Yes, absolutely. And I was working at a large online retailer here in the Seattle area, and I served 8 years there, and it was time to go. And I, Laura had encouraged me, why don't you just start your own business? And I thought, is she kidding?
I needed somebody to do my marketing. So I'm like, you should do marketing for me.
And so I built the website and I got the logo and the business cards. And I was like, I can't do this. And so I got another corporate job. And then in 4 months, they laid off their whole marketing department. It was like, okay, I just got the sign from the universe. I also have butted heads with every manager I've ever had. And I was a mediocre corporate employee, like always wanted to do it my own way. And so I finally said, okay, I'm going to do this. And I did not have a plan B of I'll go back to work at some time. No, I couldn't worry about the how. I just had to push through. And clients found me. A lot of referrals from Laura and from personal recommendations and everything. And now people find me on Google. And it's really exciting. Like, I can't worry about the how. I just had to believe in myself, believe in my value, believe that in my expertise, and just do it.
And I think one thing that was really cool because that you did is that Andy became very involved in a networking group and people would ask her for things and she's like, yeah, sure, I can do that. And then you'd figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't really know how.
Yeah.
I would just do it. I would just figure it out. Like,
but you always did figure it out.
I think that's a key. That's a key because
yes,
we were talking in the beginning about qualities and traits.
Yes.
That is a lot of times people get worried. I don't know how to do that. Well, you're going to figure it out.
Yes.
Someone's going to pay you to do that. And it's not about like saying you can do things that you can't do things, but
right,
to some extent, you need to be willing to do whatever it takes.
Yes.
And I've always done that. You've always done that. And that's a quality that works.
Yeah. Being resourceful.
Thank you. Yeah.
And
being resourceful.
Especially
that's
with Google, like you can Google anything and kind of get to the bottom of it. It might take you a couple of hours, but you can find out there's somebody else who's had your issuer is trying to figure out the same thing as you and you can figure it out.
And there is absolutely an aspect of your business that you're not going to know how to do. I felt very skilled as a coach, but I mean, I didn't know how to do marketing. I didn't know how to do the accounting. I didn't know how to do the advertising. I had to figure that part out or hire people to help me because you're not going to know how to do every piece of the business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you help clients with that, Jessica, where they are not sure how to manage everything? And do you like point them in the direction of what they should do for accounting and for marketing and all of that? kind of stuff.
Yeah, so in the Feminine CEO program, definitely, and even in the Permission to Charge Academy, I cover a lot of that. How to, like, my higher level clients, it's about how to build out your team. I definitely, for certain things, it's like, you know, get a CPA. Like, I'm not going to give them advice like that. But
right.
I tell them who they need to have on their team, how they need to find the right team members, everything they need to be able to scale their business. We cover that.
Nice.
But I did want to say something about the how piece, because
yes.
on one level, it's like you need some how, you need some strategy. But here's a different take on it. You followed your intuition and then the universe, like, you know,
yes.
your whole division was like gone and you're like, okay,
yep.
I'm really listening now.
Yes.
Right. So we have these, like, somebody posted online spiritual 2x4s. I thought was really cute. Right.
<That's>
I think it was Tracy Principe. I saw her post yesterday. Spiritual 2x4s. Like, yeah, that's what it
yes.
is. Right. So when those happen and you listen, or you can listen before the 2x4 happens,
right.
but when you get the intuitive hits and you go for it, the how will become clear. Like, you and I got connected, I think, mm-hmm. from another person I worked with. And then,
yep.
So I guess what I'm saying is, if you're being guided and you continue to listen to your inner guidance and you follow it, the how will appear. The right mentor will come mm-hmm. to you. You'll land on some cool technology that becomes
yes.
like a huge part of your business
yeah.
or this radio show or whatever. The how will appear. But if you're resisting and resisting and resisting and constantly being in fear, then it won't appear. So it's like, we think
yes.
we need to know the how, but, and it's true, I think we do need some of the how,
mm-hmm.
but if you had decided to keep getting corporate jobs until you had the how all figured out, you would have never got to where you are. So
yes.
you trusted
yes.
your guidance, you went for it, and you're like, the how will come, and it has. And you've,
yes.
it sounds like you've continued to listen and listen and listen. I feel like I've had some of the best mentors in the world, and I just feel like I have a belief. Now it's a belief that, like,
yes.
oh, I just always find the next best mentor for me. And I've had
mm-hmm.
different ones at
mm-hmm.
different seasons. I usually will stay with them for a few years because I think that's wise. And then
yes.
sometimes I might go, okay, now I'm ready for this other little piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'll be attracted to someone else, and that person will come forward. So the how will
mm-hmm.
come if you're being guided. You don't.
Yes.
It's like you don't have to force the how.
If you need to know how it's going to happen all in the beginning, you'll never get in. You'll never get started. I do
see
that.
You shouldn't be an entrepreneur.
You shouldn't be an entrepreneur then, for sure.
Going back to the traits,
yeah.
right? You need to know the how all the
yeah.
time.
Just
don't
get a job.
This.
Yeah, exactly. Because that is a get a job mindset, which there is nothing wrong with that. But I have worked with clients before who kind of think they want to go off in their own direction. But then it's like they need to know exactly how it's all going to play out. And unfortunately, I guess in any aspect of life, we don't get to know that. So
no, there is no crystal ball.
Yeah.
Why is it so hard to trust in ourselves? Just like the idea of it's hard to identify our self-worth or believe in that at the beginning. Why is it difficult for us to trust ourselves and say, I know I can do this? What is that? It's probably the programming again that we get as kids.
Why is it hard to trust ourselves?
Yeah.
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 It always goes back to that. Another piece of it, though, I think is practice, you
mm-hmm.
know? So, yes, if you were always told what to do
mm-hmm.
and you were never given the opportunity to look inside, then absolutely there's a lot of programming that you're going to need to work on. But
yeah.
And then so then you're going to also have to practice. There's things you can do to start to clear that away and remove some of that. But then you need to build a new belief system and identity that, you know, I trust my guidance. I listen to it. I remember being in a room of 200 women and this mentor that I was working with at the time, or she was my mentor at the time, the women were getting on stage and she was asking them what they wanted. Not a single one could say what they wanted. Literally,
really?
Like up there stammering, not knowing what they wanted. And I was like, wow, you know, we haven't really learned to trust ourselves and know what we want or what we're passionate about mm-hmm. or what we desire,
right.
let alone to trust any of those desires and passions and ideas.
Or
so,
feel
yeah.
kind of guilty claiming it. I was working
oh,
with
yeah.
a client yesterday who, this is a different topic about relationship though, and I was saying, well, what kind of person would you like to date? Like that was kind of opening a door to something she thought she wanted a relationship, but who it would be she didn't really, hadn't thought about. And she's like, well, you know, I want someone that we spend time together. I mean, I don't want to smother him or anything. And I thought, so that's it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what you want, but you don't want to say it out loud because you don't want to be too much or you don't want to ask for too much. And I think in business
yeah.
too, that
so
that.
Good.
I had a session with somebody, one of the practitioners in Laura's office, and he asked me, well, you know, what is it that you want, like, financially? I said, well, you know, I just want enough to be comfortable. I don't need to be rich or anything like that. And he said, well, how mediocre of you, Andy. And it was like, oh, yeah, I guess. But I never thought of it like that.
Because
like,
you were being nice. You don't want to be too greedy.
No, I don't want to be greedy.
Don't ask for too much.
Yes. No. And is that, do you feel like that's something that happens a lot to women? I feel like we're...
I think it's a little bit more with women, but not necessarily. I mean, the kind of people that I attract and work with are, like I said, very spiritually minded. And so it's not just a woman thing. I mean, we might be able to say, yeah, more women think that way than men, but or it's kind of stereotypical. But yeah, I mean, let's not say men and women. Let's just say masculine and feminine, right?
Yes.
So the masculine is going to be more like, you know, yeah, I charge $1 million and I'm worth it and I'm the best in the world. Like, you know, that's, you'll hear that. Like, I'm the best realtor. I'm the best whatever. Even if, like, someone else has won an award and, like, clearly is, like, better. This person will be like, no, I'm the best, right? So I do think that's more of a masculine trait to just fully own it and claim it. Name it, claim it, own it, say it, brag it.
Believe it,
everything. And then the more feminine is just kind of like, you know, and being inclusive of everybody else, and which is a beautiful thing, but that doesn't mean we can't also fully know what our gift is. We all have a spiritual gift. So knowing what your gift is and just being able to state it very clearly is huge.
Yeah.
And I think you said something that was important, too, is the practice piece of it. You know, when I started my business, every month I was like, oh, my God, how am I going to make my car payment this month? I mean, in the beginning, I had to have a few experiences of making rent and making my car payment, be like, okay, it happened last month, it could happen again, and kind of getting on that path. I think you have to kind of throw yourself in there and just be in the fear a little bit.
Yes. Fear. It's very paralyzing.
So you just have to move through it a little bit. But I think once, you know, part
that
of
goes
it
goes to the belief. You have to have a really, really, really strong belief.
Right.
You have to work I hate to say you have to work on it, but You do need to have a consistency around it, but you also need to, if you can clear away all the stuff that's there, you can come to a core belief that's true, that you can stand on. And then it's your choice to believe that every day or not. You can revert back if you choose, but now you know it's a choice.
Right.
Now you know that you're believing a lie, because most of this programming we have, it's just not true. Someone said you weren't good enough. That's not true. Someone said you weren't pretty enough. That's not true. Someone said you'll never make it. That's not true. It's all lies.
Right.
And that just kind of having faith.
You make it sound so simple. Like, oh, okay, that's not, it's not true. Yeah.
It's not true.
Yeah.
It's lies.
It is that simple, though, I think. And I think just if you kind of check in, one thing I did when I was starting and I'd get scared about money would be like, do I think that this is my purpose? Do I think that this is the work that I'm supposed to be doing? You know, put aside whether I'm going to pay rent or not this month. Like, do I believe that this is what my gift is? And I always came back to yes. So that helped me move forward.
And then
everything else kind of fell in place around it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there is that idea that the more you worry about money, the more money problems you end up having.
Oh, Jessica's
focus,
good at
this. Focus on, like, I love what you said, focus on being of service. Focus on your purpose. And, you know, one thing, I had a client not too long ago, and it was like, what would be the most fun, expansive way for you to be of service and make the money you want to make? And she came up with these ideas, and then I helped her build strategy around it. But it wasn't like I said the strategy first. It was like she came up with it from her intuition. Then we added strategy to it.
Yeah.
And she did like $56,000 in 8 weeks going oh my God, I think I might need to get a job. And maybe this business isn't going to be like, you know, it's crazy what we do, where you could have like a totally successful business and then one day be like, I don't know if this is working. I should get a job, right?
Yeah.
So this is like a seasoned business owner, and she's flipping amazing. But it was like a moment of doubt.
Yes.
Right. And it was like, we just turned it into not worrying about the house so much.
Yes.
Like the how came from her.
Yes.
Listening. And then we were able to put a little bit more strategy with it. I would have never predicted that she would generate that much revenue. Never. Like,
that
she blew my
awesome.
Mind. I was like, wow.
So I can't believe this. This is blowing my mind. We're out of time. Laura, really quickly, how can people get in touch with you?
So we are all over social media at On The Verge Radio. We're also at ontheverge.com. You can visit my website at seattlehealinghypnosis.com. You can just give us a call to schedule your complimentary consultation at 206-765-8265.
And that's it.
And that is it. Jessica, thank you
yes,
so
Jessica,
much for being on the
you.
Show today.
Awesome.
So much fun.
Yay. All right. See you later.
You've been listening to On the Verge Radio, using your breakdown for a breakthrough with Coach Laura Richer. We all have that moment in life when we are on the verge of big change. This time of transition is a wild and unknown place. How will you show up? Embrace the positive, drop the negative, and you can experience total transformation. Schedule a breakthrough session with Laura at SeattleHealingHypnosis.com. Laura will help you discover the path to creating rapid and positive changes. Tune in every month for On the Verge Radio with Laura Richer.